On a kind of dark, cloudy spring day here, it's fun because we are definitely into the spring season here. And we live in a part of the world we live in a world that has seasons, that has these normal cycles that happen every day, every year. These normal cycles that happen every year. And we live in a part of the world where we see them really, really clearly. You know, some parts of the world don't see the seasons quite as clearly as we do. Well, we live in a world where they're very stark, those changes between the seasons. And we're in a time now where we're seeing that transition. We're going from winter, we're heading off to summer, but in the middle there we have this wonderful season of spring, and it is good for us to kind of step back, I think, sometimes, and take notice of what's going on around us. Because as we watch the world unfold around us, as we see all of this stuff happening, one of the things that is true is that we can see some of who God is. The whole world is like a canvas that he paints on. The whole world is like a book that he is writing in. It's a picture, and as we watch the world around us, we really can see the fingerprint of God. We can see his character. We can learn who he is. And so it's unfolding in front of us all the time. And we're seeing it now, this cycle of the seasons. And God is very orderly. That's one of the things that we see about God. Things happen. And they happen again. The sun comes up every day. Sun goes down every night. Winter comes, and it's followed by spring. And then we have summer. Then it's fall, and then it's winter again. And we see the orderliness of God. And we see the faithfulness, I think, of God in the spring. You know, God says here in Genesis, hey, as long as the earth endures, we're going to have this cycle. It's going to keep going. We're going to have springtime. Then we're going to have summer. That's going to fade into fall, and then we're going to have those cold, dark days of winter, but then spring is going to come again. And we see the faithfulness of God. He keeps his promises to us. It seems sometimes like it's not going to happen, doesn't it? And I think spring is one of those times that really helps us to starkly remember that God keeps his promises. And the reason is because winter can be so... You just get sick of it, don't you? I mean, 2 years ago, what was it? It was the snow, remember? Remember 2 years ago, the snow? This time, in April last year, there was still feet of snow on the ground and more coming all the time. I think it was May 2nd last year, we got 8 inches of snow. Remember that? Just would not quit snowing. It was a record for snowfall for us last year, and it went deep, deep, deep into the spring, and we think, oh my goodness, is winter never going to end? But it did. Spring came. This year, it wasn't the snow. What was it about winter this year? It was the cold. My goodness, it just would not stop being below zero for days in a row. Our high would be 10 below, and it would get down to 25 below at night, and that would go on for a week, and then we'd think, okay, it's 4 above, and it feels so good, and then it would drop right back down into the cellar again. And we think, is it ever going to warm up? Is this ever going to happen? But it does. Now we're feeling those 60-degree days that we've been having. And so we see now this cycle, this season, one of the things I think we see is it's a stark picture to us of how faithful God is. He keeps his promises. And we're tempted to think, gosh, I don't know, is this ever going to come? But it always does. Spring always comes. And we see that in the cycle of the seasons. We see God's orderliness. We see his faithfulness. But spring is one of those seasons. I think each season has its own things. Each season has its own aspects of God's character, of God's fingerprint that we see. Spring is unique. It has some of its own things. Here's one of the things we see in the spring is we see the beauty, I think, that God creates. And as the snow disappears, as the soil warms up, we're going to see flowers coming. If you walk out, when you leave here, and you look at that flower garden right there outside the door, the tulips are starting to poke up. I saw a crocus yesterday coming up that purple crocus in the snow. And as the days go on now, what we're going to see is this absolutely stunning array of colors. And sometimes in the spring, when you look out, we've got some fields out behind my house, and the wildflowers start to come up, and you see this dizzying array of colors, just like this, the pinks and the yellows and the whites and the purples and the blues. And the mayflowers look different than the tulips, and the tulips look different than the violets, and all of these colors. It looks sometimes like a little kid took some paint and just kind of went whoosh, over the landscape. But that's God's creativity. It's God's imagination making all of these colors. You see that in the spring. And it's stark because the rest of the world is gray and brown. And on that gray-brown palette, God creates these amazing colors. We see it every single spring. But it's not just the colors. We see thousands, maybe thousands is not right, maybe it is, different shades of green. In the springtime, when those first leaves come out, they're that bright, bright yellow green. And they contrast with that dark blue green of the evergreens, which contrasts again to the green of the grass. And it's not just like there's blue and yellow and red and orange. There are hundreds of shades of colors. And we see that in the spring. And it shows God's imagination, I think. It shows his wonderful creativity, that he can make not just green, but hundreds of shades of green, and we see them. And it stirs something in us, does in me. Sometimes I'll just look out over the landscape, and I will try to count all the different shades of green, and you can't do it. And God is amazingly, wonderfully complex, amazingly, wonderfully imaginative and creative, and we see it in the springtime. And what we see in the spring, it just kind of delights our soul, I think. As these colors come on this, what has been a white, gray, dark brown landscape, it begins to be filled with color that God creates. And it stirs us, and we see God's fingerprint. We begin to hear things in the world. Right there, we see the birds are coming back. One of the things that happens in the springtime is that as the sun comes up, the birds begin to sing. They don't do it in the winter, not nearly as much. And in the wintertime, when you get up before the sun, it's just kind of silent as the sun comes up, but not in the spring. About a week ago, or a week and a half ago, I went outside just before the sun came up, and I heard one bird singing, and I thought, summer's coming. Because that bird, I don't even know what it was, but he can feel in him somehow there's a change here, and he began to sing. And the robins are back now, and you can hear him singing. Even the crows that are here all winter start to talk right before the sun comes up in the springtime, and we hear all of these sounds. And the bluebirds are coming back, and they'll begin to sing now in the trees. And all of these different birds, all of these animals are waking up, and they're making these noises that we hear in the springtime, and it just stirs my soul. But I think God created that little bird. Even the chickadees that are here all year long, you know, in the winter they make just kind of a little tweet. In the springtime they start to whistle. They actually sing a song. I won't try to do it. But those little birds that lived through that cold, hard, dark winter begin to sing. And I hear it. And that sound stirs my soul because God gave them that voice. And it shows God's creativity. It shows God's imagination in the world around us. And we begin to smell things in the spring. The spring smells different than the winter, doesn't it? In the winter, it's just kind of cold. In the springtime, as that air begins to warm up, we begin to smell things that we haven't smelled before. The first thing that you smell is that warm wind blowing across the snow. And I was a kid, we called it the Chinook wind. And I think that's an Alaskan word that happens up in Alaska. We called it the Chinook. The first time you smelled that warm air blowing across the snow, and my dad would say, spring's coming. I can smell it. And as a kid, I didn't know what he was talking about, but now I do. My dad smelled spring coming across the field, and we can smell it. And what does that do? Smells, when we smell these things, they spark memories in us, don't Well, that's from God's hand. And in the springtime, he awakes smells that we haven't smelled all year, and it stirs something in us. You're going to smell the apple blossoms. You're going to smell the lilacs soon. Lilacs smell like school is over, and that was a wonderful memory. And in the springtime, God awakens these smells, and we smell them, and it's a picture again of God's ingenuity. That he created not just things to see, but things to hear, things to smell. He stirs all of our senses in the springtime. As the world begins to wake up, God, what is on display is God's creativity, his imagination. And he uses it to stir in us a wonder. That part that God put in us that has that same imagination that he does, has the same creativity, God uses the spring waking up to speak to that inside of us. We see and we feel and we smell and we hear God as the world wakes up. It happens every spring. Every single spring, it happens. Do we notice it? Do we see it? It's there for us as the world unfolds. We see these things. We see God's power in the springtime. Not just his beauty, not just his imagination. We see his power. I drove over the Eau Claire River this morning on the way in, and it is up. It is full. It's a high rolling river. And it's way up on the banks, and it's moving hard, and there's white water, and there's more coming, because way up north, that snow is still melting, and it's slowly making our way down here, and the rivers are filling up. And those rivers, it's God's amazing power that all winter long, you know what's been happening? The precipitation has been coming down, and instead of evaporating or sinking in, it's just been piling up. And we see a whole season's worth of rain coming tearing down the rivers right now, and it's cutting new banks, and it's changing the landscape. We see that around us. And it's the power of God that he sends that snow all winter long. And this is a reminder, oh my goodness, all of this water came down and now it's all moving to the sea. And it says in the Bible that, you know, it's that snow that fell up in the Shequamigan National Forest, 75 miles from here, is going to slowly make its way into the rivers, and it's going to rush down here, and it's going to end up in the ocean. And it'll evaporate, it'll come back, and God will send it back down again. And that cycle happens. That's the power of God. That we see, it's on display for us every spring when the rivers fill up. Yesterday it rained. We see these spring rains that happen. And it reminds me again of God's power, because what God does in the spring when the rain comes is he washes the entire earth. And as that snow is receding, it's gray and it's gritty and it's filled with dirt, and the world kind of is filled with the residue of that long, hard, cold winter. And God sends these gentle rains. We had one yesterday. These gentle, soaking rains that wash the world, cleanse the world. It's God's power. He can do something we can't do. We can't do that. We cannot clean the whole world. God sends these storms, and he will send his rain over thousands of square miles and clean away the snow. There's a big old snowbank in my backyard. Most of the snow is gone from my yard, but there's this big snowbank that we had been shoveling snow off the roof, and it's right behind my garage door. And it's leaking dirty runoff into my garage. Well, yesterday God melted most of it. That rain fell on it. Washed it away, cleaned off my back porch for me. God does that for the whole world. We see it every spring. Every spring. God sends these rains, washes away a year's worth of accumulated dirt. The power of God is on display. And with that rain, we see this. Sometimes we can think, oh my goodness, you know, maybe a little bit less water would be okay in the spring. Because with that melt off, with that runoff, with that rain comes these puddles. These, you know, the fields fill up with water, and your yard is all gushy and you step in it and you sink and there's mud puddles all over the place. But you know what? This is part of God's power as well, because this leads to something. When those fields are filled with water, what happens? Well, the plants begin to grow. That's what you see there. I drove by a field on my way home yesterday, filled with old dead corn stalks from last year. But right alongside those corn stalks, as the water has fallen on them, the grass is growing up. And we see that this water, this runoff, all of this melt, all of this rain, He uses it to take the frost out of the ground. He slowly thaws out the earth in the spring with this water. And as that happens, and as the sun gets higher in the ground and warms up the ground, this is what happens. And one of the great, great joys of spring is we begin to see the provision of God again. A spring garden is a joy to behold and to eat. I learned this as a boy. My mom would go out as soon as the snow was off the garden and there was even just a couple of inches of soft soil, she would plant the radishes and the lettuce and some of those little onions, these things that could handle the cold nights, these things that could handle that cold rain, these things that didn't need so much heat to grow. And mom would begin to grow these things, the lettuce, and we would have spring salads. And it's a absolutely fantastic thing. A few years ago, by accident, my mom left the spinach out in the summer, in the fall. The spinach just grew up, went to seed, dropped those seeds on the ground. Well, as soon as the snow was gone, all of that spinach came up. So we were eating spinach salads while there was still snow on the garden. This is a picture of God's provision. Because in the winter time, nothing's growing, is it? And those animals, we see it in the animals. They're looking for food. They're looking for something to eat, and it gets difficult at times. But now the spring is here, and we see God open His hand and fill the fields with food for the animals and for you and I. Springtime is a reminder that God regularly gives us what we need. He provides for us. His power, His concern for us provides what we need. Now, maybe you don't like spinach, and maybe this isn't meaning anything to you, so this is for you. I don't like strawberries, but they're coming. And as the late spring turns into early summer, the strawberries are the first berries to get ripe. They're the first ones. And it's a reminder, again, of God's provision for you and I. Not just to sustain us, but to just give us those flavors that delight us. That spinach salad and that strawberry jam. These are provisions that God gives us. We see Him in the springtime. It's not that they're not there at other times, but they're on display in the spring as things come to life again. It's a picture that God paints in the springtime world that reminds us that He provides for us and that there's hope. You know, winters are long and hard and cold and dark. And it can be difficult in the wintertime for the animals to find food. But there's hope in the spring, and we're reminded of that. That the long, cold, hard, dark days, they come, but they do not last forever. And the sun is going to get higher in the sky. And the rains are going to come, and God will faithfully provide. And I have hope for the future, because I see every year God keep His promise. It's on display for us in the springtime. Maybe the most amazing thing about the spring is that we see new life. We see things that were, for all practical purposes, dead come back to life. The maple trees in my backyard are just starting to bud. Those buds are beginning to swell, and just a little bit more sunshine, they're going to open up. And you're going to see those first leaves of spring. And it's fun to watch. It usually starts in the undergrowth in the woods. Those first little leaves. Then the aspens, the popples, and the maples and the birches. Finally the oaks. You see all of these trees that were frozen solid for all practical purposes. They were dead. Nothing was working there. Nothing. It was just there, stark, cold, frozen. And now when the sun hits it and the water comes up through the roots, God brings them to life, and we see new life happening in the spring. And this, guys, is an amazing thing. No less amazing because we see it every year. That life God creates life. You see it happen every spring. Even more remarkable than the plants are the animals. Pretty quick, you're going to start seeing the calves in the field. I love this time of year. I'll stop in the middle of the road and watch that new calf. Sometimes if I see a cow that looks like she's going to calf, I'll just stop and sit there for a half hour and see if I can watch that little calf be born. And this little animal, there's two when there was one. This is an amazing thing. It's unbelievable that we can see God create a living, breathing, moving creature. And it is on display for us every spring. That mama cow now has a baby. And that little one is going to grow. That little one can eat. God will reproduce that little one. And it happens all around us. It happens in the wild. The fawns will be out soon. And I will definitely stop for fawns. And I'll watch them follow their mama. And an hour or so, maybe not even an hour after that little one is born, it's up on its legs. It's moving. It's walking around because God created it able to do that. Amazing. Something that we cannot do, something that nobody can do. Life is created every spring, and it's a picture of what God does. He makes things alive that weren't alive before. You want to talk about creativity? You want to talk about power? My goodness, there it is. Wouldn't it be fun? Don't we just love seeing pictures like that? Why do we love pictures like that? Because it is a picture to us of this is an amazing thing. It's beyond our ability to reproduce, and it stirs our imagination. It stirs our heart. It stirs our emotions. And the reason is because it's a picture of who God is. We see God in these seasons. We see God in the spring. We see Him. Every spring, God puts Himself on display. He does it all the time. He does it every day. But in the spring, it's a little bit different picture. And we see God's imagination. Look at that flower. Look at the different colors in it. The purples and the yellow and the green. And crocuses come in different colors. They're not all like that. Some are bigger than others. We see God's imagination as the world begins to wake up. As the world comes back to life, we see the wonder and the beauty of God. And we feel it. We smell it. We hear it. We watch it. We taste it. We see the power of God as that flower grows right through the snow. And when it freezes, that flower doesn't freeze. It stays alive. And the next day when the sun hits it, it continues to grow. That's powerful. Somehow God protects that little flower right through the snow. We see God do things that we cannot do. We see God water the entire earth in the spring. We cannot do that. That's an amazing engineering feat. It would take all of our time and effort and resources to do a tenth of what God did yesterday morning. He watered the earth. His incredible power. His incredible foresight. His incredible understanding. His incredible orderliness. The power of God is on display to us today, every spring. We see God's provision for us. We see His goodness to us. The dark winter does not last forever. The sun comes out, and the summer comes. We see God's faithfulness to us. It's on display for us right now when you walk out these doors today, tomorrow, the next day. We see the wonder and the glory of God. And the reason that it happens is not just to make a museum. God's desire was not just to give us a museum to see this. Really, His desire was to show us these things so that we would remember something. So that we would remember that God's greatest concern is not for the earth or the animals. It's for you. If God is faithful to the world, he is more faithful to you. If God provides for the animals, he says, you are much more valuable to me than 1,000 birds or deer. I will provide for you, says God. If the animals and the world can have hope that the dark night will pass, you can have hope that the dark night of your soul will pass and the springtime will come and I will fill you with warmth again. You can have confidence that God's amazing power is at work for you. You can know that God can bring new life into your relationships, into your heart, into your world, into your soul, because you see him bring new life to the world around you. That's what that verse says. Hey, the world was created, and we see all these things. Why? So that we can clearly see God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature that he gives to you. God's desire is not to create a beautiful world. God's desire is for you to have a beautiful relationship with him. What you see out your window, what you see in your front yard, what you see in the world around you every spring, God's power, his creativity, his imagination, the wonder, the provision, the strength, the life happening is there so that you will look to him and say, God, I need that from you in my heart, in my soul. And God will give it. If he's faithful to the earth, he is more faithful to you. The earth, everything we see, will pass away. God says it'll dry up, it'll be crumpled up and thrown away, but you are the apple of God's eye. You are his inheritance. If God is strong for the earth, he is stronger for you. If God fills the earth with wonder, he fills your heart with greater wonder and joy. God provides for the animals. Oh, he provides so much for you. And all of that is on display for us this spring. Do you see God's fingerprint as the seasons unfold? Are you watching and feeling the presence of God as the world unfolds? And are you recognizing and longing for a deeper relationship with the God who does this? Father, I just pray that we would. Lord, by your grace, help us not to miss what's really happening around us. Not to miss that what we're seeing is a song that you are writing to us. It's your voice in a way that we can understand. It's a poem written to stir our soul. It is a painting that you have put together to show us who you are. Help us, God, to see that, to recognize that, and to draw close to you. God, I just pray that we would remember that we are the apple of your eye, not the world. We are what makes your heart beat faster, not the world. We are what you long for. We are made in your image. We are your sons and daughters. Help us, Lord, to reach out to you and to let you be for us what we see you being for the world. In Jesus' name.